Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, September 24th. Here's an update on wildfires burning across Colorado here on the first day of fall. According to the Denver Post, this summer was relatively quiet on the wildfire front, but there are four blazes that are burning at the moment. The Bald Mountain Fire in Jefferson County has reached 100% containment. It ignited on Friday, and its cause is unknown. It covered a single acre of land before growing to 25 acres, then settled at 17 acres on Saturday. At one point, smoke was visible from Denver. The Decker Fire south of Salida has been burning since September 8th and has grown to 1,015 acres. The size makes it a Class F fire under the National Wildlife Coordinating Group, the second highest classification, and it's at 0% containment. But firefighters are not overly concerned. Officials have said this offers a chance to clear fuel for future fires from the forest floor, mostly beetle-kill trees. On September 14th, the Hunt Fire was at 40% containment. 9 days later, that number hasn't changed. The fire, ignited by lightning, is in Rio Blanco County, just north of the Rhone Plateau, and has been burning since September 5th. It has burned 3,766 acres. Officials with the Bureau of Land Management said crews are working to keep the fire within the containment perimeter. The flames are patchy and creeping on untouched areas. And finally, the Middle Mam Blaze, 10 miles south of Rifle, is being used as an opportunity to burn fuel that could add to larger fires in the future. Only 7 personnel are deployed to keep an eye on the 275-acre fire. Wildfire is a continual threat in the West, but researchers say an invasive species of grass that's taking hold in states including Colorado, Wyoming, and Nevada could make things much worse. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KRCC's Abigail Beckman has this story.
Walking through a field near Westcliff, you'll find knee-high patches of sage, throngs of wildflowers like asters and Indian paintbrush, and cheatgrass. Guinevere Nelson is the Colorado State University Extension Agent for Custer County.
And you can see
she picks a handful of a reddish grassy plant, pointing to the bristly awns hanging from its stem.
This is the cheatgrass. So this is going to get into your socks and your shoes and your pants. Okay. Just so you know.
Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome.
If that sounds familiar, you've likely encountered the invasive weed. According to the Bureau of Land Management, it's gradually taking over rangeland across the West. David Huber owns the nearly 400-acre ranch we're walking through.
You can see the results of the fire. That fire was not a lightning fire. That was a camper that got away. They tried to find him for a while, but
in 2011, the Duckett Fire came dangerously close to his home, burning more than 4,000 acres of Forest Service, BLM, and private land. For him, managing cheatgrass isn't as big of a concern as wildfire prevention.
Inside our property, we've thinned considerably, and we've also limbed all the trees up about 5 or 6 feet. So if the grass does burn here, there's less of a chance of it putting the trees on fire.
His approach to fire mitigation may have to change, though, along with the approach of many others in the Wet Mountain Valley, if cheatgrass continues to spread. The thing about cheatgrass is it's highly flammable. It grows quickly in soil disturbed by grazing, tilling, development, and even fire. A blaze last year in Nevada, the Martin Fire, spread through cheatgrass and eventually claimed more than 435,000 acres. And with this year's wet spring, the weed is in full force. By this time of year, cheatgrass is dead. It turns a rusty brown color and becomes a thick, continuous, dry fuel that leaves behind a layer of seed on the ground that can be viable for as long as 4 years. Nelson says cheatgrass germinates faster than most native grasses, so it outcompetes them for space and nutrients.
People call it cheatgrass because it can have about 2 cycles that it'll grow, release seed, and then grow and release seed again.
It was originally brought over from Eurasia, most likely with grain, but it was also introduced in the 1800s as an anti-grazing grass, something livestock typically doesn't like to eat. So now places like Westcliff are left with stand after stand of a highly flammable invasive weed that's really difficult to control and constantly looking to spread. Nelson says the worst case scenario would be
just everything cheatgrass all the time, because it provides no real habitat for your bugs or your birds or any kind of reptiles or anything. It's of no ecological value to the systems here.
Landowners have a few options to deal with cheatgrass, including early grazing, pulling the weed out of the ground, and chemicals. Shannon Clark is a postdoctoral researcher in the Weed Research Lab at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. She's familiar with the ranch owned by David Huber. She did studies there, looking at the effects certain chemicals have on cheatgrass at high elevations. Clark says Colorado's cheatgrass problem isn't nearly as large as other western states.
So somewhere like the state of Nevada, where cheatgrass has been present for so long and has been able to get a hold of that ecosystem. The problem is now that if you go into those areas, a lot of times the native plant community has just been eliminated from the area.
In Colorado, the Bureau of Land Management says cheatgrass on the land it manages is most prolific in northwestern portions of the state. Data from the University of Georgia shows it was found most abundantly in Boulder County, but cheatgrass has been observed across the entire state to varying degrees. Right now, the weed is classified as a C-list noxious weed in Colorado, so it's on the state's radar as a potential problem. Clark says the work it would take to get all of the landowners and relevant government agencies involved in a management plan could prove difficult.
I think that's the biggest hurdle, is just trying to bring everyone together, coming up with a strategy to start controlling it.
The BLM is currently studying a bacteria strain that could help control cheatgrass. In June, the Western Governors Association announced a partnership with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to look for ways to address cheatgrass. Conversations are ongoing. In a statement, WGA policy advisor Bill Whitaker said the spread of cheatgrass has, quote, become a critical threat to healthy western rangelands, adding that it harms watersheds and diminishes wildlife habitat. I'm Abigail Beckman.
And finally, this note from the Denver Post. The Bureau of Land Management's new headquarters in Grand Junction will share an office building with oil and gas groups. The Interior Department announced Friday it has leased part of a four-story building at 760 Horizon Drive. According to online records, the building's other tenants include Chevron and Laramie Energy, oil and gas companies that the BLM could provide leases to and regulate. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, September 24th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.